Hello, my name is Earl Dressel, and I live in Tucson, Arizona. I have been listening to Pastor Greg Miller at Bible Believers Fellowship, Ohio, for over 4 years. He teaches the truth in God's Word from the King James Bible.
Join us at bbfohio.com and bbfohioradio.com. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com as we conclude our study in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35, titled The Testimony of Simeon. This is part 2 of 2.
Before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now that's something. Some of you don't act too enthused by this. Evidently you know the day you're going to die. God's told you. See, you got to put yourself in those shoes there. Wait a minute. He knows he's not going to die until Jesus comes. Spirit-anointed Jews looked for the Messiah. But here Simeon is told he won't die until he sees him. Imagine God telling you that you would not die before the rapture. I've heard people, including my wife, almost lay it out and say, I just don't believe I'm going to die before the rapture. But God hasn't told her that yet. And I don't suspect he will. But if he did, it'd be something she'd pretty much have to keep to herself because everybody else thinks she's nuts. Until the rapture happens. And then everybody, well, maybe you did. You know. But you got to watch that stuff. I met a lady before Mariah was even born, and she claimed that in a dream, God had told her that she would not die before the rapture took place. But she's dead now. So, I'm not even saying she's lying. You can have dreams, and God may, in your dream, you may hear God talking to you. That doesn't mean it's really God. And you can only know if it matches the Word of God. And Jesus said, we're not going to know. So I got a real problem with anybody. I don't care what kind of miracles you claim to have seen or dreams and visions you have. You're contradicting Scripture if you say that you know that you're not going to die before the rapture takes place. Now, in defense of my wife, she doesn't say she knows and she hasn't said God told her, but she just has a real good feeling about it. And I wouldn't bet against her even if I was a betting man. Amen. Because it sure do look close. Amen.
Amen.
So verse 27-28 then says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Look, read verse 28 with me. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, and we'll stop there for just a second because he is holding God incarnate in his arms. For Mary to do that. Here is this just and devout man, spirit-filled, and God is giving him the pleasure of holding God incarnate. God came as a baby in Jesus to grow up so that he might die and shed his blood for your sins. And Simeon got to hold baby Jesus.
Amen.
Now listen, I'm just going to warn you, don't go run up trying to grab Ezra today. There's all this flu bug and everything going around. His immune system still. Imagine how protective Mary was. Her baby's the Son of God. Yeah. I mean, we're told Simeon did, but we're not told Mary's walking around handing that baby around to everybody. And that I think he was probably, as a baby especially, not given to very many people to hold. And I think that may be why we're told about this, to Simeon holding, because he might have been the only one. Why? He's the Son of God. Don't be passing him around like a loaf of bread. Amen? He's the Son of God. That little baby's important. He's the bread of life, but He don't be passing him around like a loaf of bread. Yeah, that's a good one. Yes. Yes. A fellow about 100 years ago, A.C. Gabelline, said this, quote, "It was a babe, like any other babe, yet faith saw in him what he is, the Lord's salvation for his people. He who had come to do the great work." And it's also said that he's a light to lighten the Gentiles. Thank God for that, you Gentiles. "And the glory of thy people Israel." So then we go to Luke 29:30, and we continue. We left off where he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart." You can read with me. "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Stop there. So he's not upset about the fact he's going to die. Why? He has seen the salvation of the Lord and held him in his arms. That's pretty amazing. Amazing stuff. He literally, he says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." We can say that, but we're saying it in kind of a spiritual sense. We believe the word, therefore we have seen the salvation of the Lord. You can look up that banner in the back with the gospel printed on it, and you're looking at the salvation of the Lord, and that gospel is all about Jesus. So there you go. But in this case, he literally looked at, I believe Jesus just looked, because Ezra, well, they're all of our babies and grandbabies have been like that. Just within a day or two of being born, and they look up at you, those big eyes, you know, you say, "Oh, you're hi." "I didn't expect you to, you know, pay such attention to me, you know." And imagine the Son of God as a baby looking up at you. And Simeon's thinking, yeah, yeah. I don't know about you, but I just get excited when I think through these things of the reality of what's happening. And this Simeon, I look forward to meeting him. Amen. Verses 31, 32. Read that with me. "Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." That's Jesus. Amen. That's Jesus. And Simeon is quoting Isaiah 49:6 says, "And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." That was written by Isaiah about right about 6 centuries before Jesus was born. And yet it didn't seem to really impress or interest the Jews of Jesus' day that the Messiah was said to be a light to the Gentiles. They still were calling all the Gentiles dogs. Amen. And it says that the Messiah would be my salvation unto the end of the earth. I mean, that's pretty dramatic. That's pretty dramatic. So then Luke 2:33 says, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." And that's kind of what we were talking about earlier. You know, Joseph and Mary are human. Don't be praying to Mary. Don't be worshiping and adoring Mary. Mary's a wonderful Christian lady who doesn't want you worshiping her or praying to her. Amen? But Mary is wonderful. Joseph, he was called a just man. I mean, we're talking about the cream of the crop. But they're human. So don't be surprised by their surprise at these words, even though they've been visited by Gabriel, both of them. And they have seen wise men from the east come to worship their child. And the shepherds left the herd and came and then went all over town telling everybody about this baby being born. I mean, they've seen a lot. But, you know, few days go by and this is pretty wild, but I don't know. They're human. And then here we go again. Simeon. And he says these things. And they're human. They have to be standing there saying, this is just amazing. And Simeon was given amazing prophetic insight, as we see in verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother. He's looking right at Mary now. And he's saying, Mom, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. There's a mouthful there. All fulfilled in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to see the fulfillment of what Simeon said right there as we continue our study in Luke. He basically summarized what we're going to study. Romans 2:16, Paul said this. I meant to put verse 35 as well. Look what he's looking at Mary now. He's talking about this little baby. Look what he says in verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. How many times did Mary wonder? She's being told here that a sword shall pierce through her own soul because of what this baby's going to grow up and do. She'd go back and read Isaiah 53. She could go back and read Psalm 22. She knew Genesis 3:15. But it had to be a hard pill to swallow as the natural mother of that little baby and the idea he was going to grow up and fulfill those prophecies. I mean, I'm thankful that I did not have to worry about Mariah when she grows up having to go through anything like what Jesus went through. Can you imagine your own child and God looking at you and just saying, you know, that child's going to be put through the things that the martyrs were put through? Have you read Fox's Book of Martyrs?
Yeah.
If you haven't, you ought to.
Amen.
What's the little book? Trail of Blood.
Amen.
Trail of Blood. You can read about what Christians have had to go through. Imagine an angel coming to you, Jill, and saying, you shall have a son and he shall be called Johnny. But then having to hear that he's going to go through this kind of stuff, be something. John 3:16, yeah. And now we have Martha 3:16. I'm telling you, if you want your Bible to come alive, read it in the way that you would read it if it was about you, because it really is. It's not about you in the sense you're the center of attention, but you're part of this story. The story's not complete yet, and there's plenty that talks about you and your future. When it says God is not willing that any should perish, that includes you. When the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that includes you. And if you're saved, then every time the Bible talks about what saved people have, including being sealed under the day of redemption, being baptized into the body, your future home in the New Jerusalem, the rapture, all those things, that's you. And if you put yourself in there, the Bible takes on a new life. And as you see this, these comments by Simeon, they're all fulfilled in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul then says in Romans 2:16, he refers to the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, Stephen explained in the Sunday school lesson, and probably touch on again next week when he teaches, that all those saints, including Simeon, when they died, they did not go to heaven.
Amen.
They went to the center of the earth, a place called paradise. And then there was a great gulf, empty, not like the Gulf of Mexico, an empty gulf separating paradise from what we call hell. And if you went to hell, You're still there. We're going to read about the rich man in Luke 16. He's still there. But if you were a just and devout man as Simeon, you didn't go to heaven because your sins had only been covered. They had not been completely washed by the blood of Jesus with the propitiation that we talked about in Sunday school. But once that happened, then it says Jesus led captivity captive, and those Old Testament saints are now in heaven. We believe that. There's some people who don't seem to be able to understand that or get it. It seems very clear to me. Most of the good teachers I know all teach the same thing. I'm in good company what I'm teaching you right now. But you check it out. Read it for yourself. But I believe that's exactly what happened to Simeon. And it's all because of Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood. And that's the only reason you'll get to heaven. Amen. That's the only way anybody you know alive today will get to heaven, is if they will repent of whatever false ideas they have. Repent of what they are, who they are, what they believe, leave it all behind and turn to Jesus Christ by faith, believing how that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's the only reason you will be saved. That's the only way to be saved. And if you're saved, then yes, you should try to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. You should do good works. You should preach the gospel. You should read your Bible. You should pray. But not to be saved. But because you are saved. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, musicians, if you'd come, we'll take a Q&A. If anybody's got something they want to say, we ask that you use this microphone up here so that we can get it on the video. Without me having to spend a bunch of time editing, Jenny is going to be sweet enough to hand it off to Stephen there. Okay.
So in verse 26, okay, in verse 26, it says the Lord's Christ.
Yeah.
Does that imply that there are other Christs?
Yeah, there are many Christs.
Yeah.
And that word Christ and Messiah means anointed. And so Satan has his Christ that's coming. And John said there are many false Christs, many antichrists. There's coming one that'll be the antichrist. But there have been many false Christs. And the Lord's Christ is Jesus. All other Christs are false Christs.
Okay. All right. An onliner says, did Jesus have some chromosomes of Mary? Is there an answer in the Bible?
No. That's all speculation. But we do believe that he, more than likely, I believe, and most of the people I've ever listened to or read on that believe that he was Mary's baby. He wouldn't have had Joseph's,
right. But
he had his mother's, and God, you know, formed that body in the womb. But there had to be more than just Mary's. We believe he had blood that did not come from Mary. We believe he had the blood of God.
Amen.
It was special blood. The idea of God putting in the womb of a woman a baby that can have the probably looked somewhat like Mary and had those genes and everything, but the blood was pure and he was without sin.
Amen.
And that's all we know. Beyond that, you get into speculation. Where it gets blasphemous is if they in any way introduce the idea of Joseph's genes or any other man's genes or Jesus not being sinless and all that. That's where you get into the bad stuff, the blasphemy. It's like watching Phil Donahue. Remember that?
Can I just throw in, like, all we would know as far as how much of Mary is in him, if you will, would be probably just as much as, because the Bible does say that he has a connection to David's throne.
Yeah.
And so whatever would be required in order for God to be able to say that.
We're going to go into that in more detail in the genealogy coming up in the next chapter. But yeah, that's what it's all about, is Mary's DNA made him an heir to the throne because Mary was a descendant of King David through his son Nathan. Joseph, by adoption, provided Jesus the legal claim to the throne because Joseph was the son of David through Solomon. And that came through Jeconiah and the line that God said would not sit on his throne because of his seed, it said, of Jeconiah's seed will not sit on the throne. So if Joseph were his father, not only would he be a sinful man with a sinful nature, but he'd have that seed and he couldn't sit on the throne of David. So it's an amazing thing we'll go into detail about in our next study. But
Oh, well, go ahead.
I was going to have one comment.
Go ahead.
As food for thought, later on in Christ's life, he was accused of being born of fornication. So the idea of Mary passing the baby around everywhere, there was a stigmatism at that time. So I would imagine that they hugged those that was in the properness, but you did something wrong, so therefore we're not touching that.
That's true.
Part of it, so.
Could have been, yeah. Very true.
Just speculation.
Yeah. And one more. This will be our last from Jenny. She's got an onliner comment. Oh, Dan's got something to say.
All right. Earl Dressel says, wise men coming from the east? How far from the east? Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan?
Or Babylon.
Or just east of Jerusalem?
Well, it was east of Jerusalem, but it was in Babylon and that area of what we now call Iraq would have been from Babylon in biblical terms. Iraq is not in the Bible. Babylon is. Yeah. And that's all in our Daniel studies. We also did a study on the wise men. That's on our probably our Christmas playlist. Right? Wise Men from the East is what it's called. If you want to look that up, Earl or anybody else, and watch that. What's that?
Well, those have been students of Daniel.
Yeah. Well, the students of Daniel had to have passed down over almost 600 years. But, yeah, it's from Daniel. He taught the wise men of his day, the Magi, as they like to be called. And it then came down. And that's why they were looking for that star and why they knew where Jesus was. They paid more attention to the prophets than the Pharisees and Sadducees did. All right, let's go. Leaning on the everlasting arm.
Thank you. Charlie, would you close our Bible study and thank the Lord for the food and the fellowship?
Dear Lord, we praise you and thank you for this beautiful day. And we thank you for just blessing each of us with safe travel here. We thank you so much for the Word of God and just that wonderful thought of Simeon getting to hold that precious salvation in his arms.
Yes.
And we thank you for the children that we have and the blessing that we can get a glimpse of what that was like for Mary and for Joseph and all those that were blessed to be with Jesus when he was young. And pray that you would just help us to realize that these stories in the Bible were real people, and they went through everything, and they had as much feeling as we do about these things. And pray that you would just help us to look at that as a truth and not just something that we're supposed to read from time to time. Pray that you would help us make it real.
Amen.
And pray that you would bless our time of food and fellowship today and continue to protect us and all those that we love. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Your feet.